from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I think that's what I was talking about a little bit with Russ playing. You know, he wanted to play. We'd never put somebody out there that wasn't medically clear, but he hasn't gotten a lot of reps. And I don't care how many years you've been in this thing, whether you're a new system, new city, whatever it is, the great ones want to get out there and get sharpened up to play. And, you know, he's missed a lot of camp. And so, and then, you know, protect him from himself. There's things schematically you don't want to put him the hard way. There's risk in everything when you step out there. And so I think that limited him a little bit, but I give him credit for being out there. And that's the name of this game. I mean, we've got 3 weeks to the opener. We'll see how this week goes. You know, there's a lot of things that we're working on. You're still kind of in training camp. You're kind of going through a mock week just to get your logistics down as a staff and how you prepare. It's not really the same whether you say it's a – but there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
So there you have it. That is Steelers offensive coordinator Arthur Smith talking about Russ Wilson being limited in that game. He's still coming back from injury. It is a new offense, and he hasn't had a lot of time to practice. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. So the Steelers leaning hard into, yeah, Russ is going to be fine. When he's healthy, we can call the offense appropriately. And when he's healthy, like a different player. And I think there are excuses, there are reasons. That all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Even if you're a veteran quarterback, you're not working with those guys, the ones, every day. When you are practicing, you're limited. There's no contact anyhow for quarterbacks. And then in the game, you don't want to get Russ out on the edge. You're not going to have him rolling out. You're not going to have him running zone read, stuff like that. So that all actually makes sense to me. And then in the situations where they did let him throw, he gets sacked 3 times because the offensive line is bad, because they're putting bad down and distance situations because of poor execution and penalties. I want to see him in game 3. And I would hope that the offense can execute better around him. But I do think there are reasons why we didn't see a great Russ in game 1.
Well, he is Mr. Unlimited. So, you know, you got to take that for account there for Russ. But one of the top qualities of being a veteran quarterback, and you don't even have to be a great one. I'm not even talking about the Bradys or the Mannings of the world and, you know, Aaron Rodgers now. If you are a veteran quarterback that's been around a long time, even Gardner Minshew, let's use him for an example. One of the best qualities you have is playing experience and seeing things. There's only so many defenses, so many fronts, so many blitzes that you can see in a football game. And how many times has Russ seen those things? One of Russ's best qualities, at least coming into this year without the physical traits, is to be able to get to the line, check in and out of things. We didn't see that at all. We probably won't see that this week if he does play, but that is something to take into account for, because that is where those veteran quarterbacks can play for a long time. That's why I think Flacco had a good year last year. I mean, Flacco was a statue, and he ended up having a good year because he knows the game. He knows that whenever he sees rotation, it's like, oh, wait, hold up. Check, 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 audible, bang, bang, bang. Here, we're going to get into this because this is going to beat that on the opposite side. That's what Rush can bring to the table. I don't know if Justin is there yet. He will be, I think, at some point in his career. But what Russ's top quality is being able to get out of something and get into something that could be a successful play. You're not going to see that in preseason.
Right.
You're just not going to see that. So, you know, let's hold our horses a little bit on Russ, because you're not even going to see his best quality this week. You will see it, though, as the year kicks off against Atlanta.
And he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do understand the game and you get into the right plays and the right protections and you
yes,
all that stuff, you know what that winds up doing for you? Helping you not turn the football over.
And helping you not get sacked.
Yes.
Yes. And that, I know he took a lot of sacks, but last year.
I think that is because a couple things. He's not quite as athletic as he used to be. He's never been tall. And he likes the 7-step drops. And he likes to try to make plays down the field. You know, a lot of people have crushed Russ for being a check down merchant. He is kind of going for broke, or he's just checking it off. He's going to take his sacks, but he doesn't turn the football over. And that's why, folks, he's going to be the Steelers' starting quarterback. Bill Barnwell wrote a piece for ESPN that I'm going to get into a little bit later on in the show. Doran's going to head out at 9 o'clock. He's got some personal stuff that he needs to take care of. I'm going to get into this piece. There's a lot of stats, Doran, at 9. But one of the stats from Bill Barnwell's article on the Steelers is that the Steelers, the last three seasons, are 28-7 when they win the turnover battle. They're 0-15-1 when they lose it. Haven't won a dang game when they turn the ball over more than their opponent. Well, okay, Russ Wilson, 44 games the last 3 years. One really good year with Seattle, one horrific year with Denver, and then one so-so to good year last season with Denver. 44 games the last 3 years, 33 turnovers. Justin Fields in his career, three seasons, 41 turnovers in 41 games. Justin Fields is going to turn the ball over once a game.
Yep.
That's who he's been. Russ Wilson is not going to turn the ball over a lot. Full stop. You think Mike Tomlin's going to play Justin Fields from week one after in the first preseason game? Justin Fields has two fumbled snaps, and then his highlight play against third and fourth string players is a ball that against first string players is at least getting tipped and probably getting intercepted. Mike Tomlin's not going to give Justin Fields the keys to this car for game one. He's not. And if you think he is, and a lot of the national media thinks he is, I just don't think you're paying attention. Mike Tomlin wants to win with a veteran quarterback that he doesn't have to baby, because he knows he's going to take care of the football without having to be babied. If you tell Justin Fields to play within himself, if you dial Justin Fields back at all, you're going to take away what makes Justin Fields great. And I don't think Mike Tomlin wants to do that. In order to get Justin to not turn the football over, he's going to have to stay in the pocket more and run less, I would think. Mike doesn't want to do that. He said so much the other day. With Russ, you don't have to tell him anything. When he's healthy, when he is allowed to check at the line, whenever it is a regular season game, hey, Arthur Smith, hey, Russ, you guys got the offense, and Tomlin doesn't have to worry about it. There's no chance, none, if both guys are healthy week one, that Justin Fields starts, and you just need that stat to tell you.
Yep, exactly. Exactly right. That's exactly how Mike Tomlin wants to play. That's exactly how he wants to operate, and that's exactly what they're going to do. He trusts Russ in certain situations, and we're not even talking about situational football either. We're just talking about turnover battles and how important that is to Mike Tomlin. But situational football, you know that Russ is going to more than not be in, put himself in the team in the right situation. And I don't know if Justin Fields could do that. And if you have to second guess that right now, that guy doesn't need to be your starter. And right. It won't be.
If both guys had the same exact camp, if both guys had wonderful preseasons, I don't think tie goes to the quarterback that you think is going to be the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Justin Fields. Tie goes to who's the guy that gives us the best chance to win. And you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to say, listeners, right or wrong. But try to view it through Mike Tomlin's eyes. Mike Tomlin is going to view Russ Wilson as the guy who gives them the best chance to win. If he didn't, they'd have spent a third-round pick and got Justin Fields first.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The first quarterback that they contacted was Russell Wilson. The first guy that they brought in was Russell Wilson. Nothing's changed. 0-15-1 when they lose the turnover battle.
Man.
That is hard to do. And you had to kind of play it that way with Kenny. That's the way they did play it with Kenny. Don't turn it over, and we're going to have a chance to win. That's why all these people predicting the doom and gloom and the downfall of the Steelers, you're going to get a quarterback that protects the football and also throws touchdown passes. The Steelers have thrown, since Ben retired, 25 touchdowns.
What?
Russell Wilson threw more touchdowns last year and didn't play in two games.
Wow.
So anybody out there on a national level, and there are people that are popular, I'm sure there are people who listen to our show, listen to a lot of the national show, flip on ESPN. If they want to make this a quarterback controversy, they're wrong. It's not one. He's going with the vet who's going to protect the football. I'll say it again for effect. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Doran, we've done this every day. We got a Brandon Ayuk update for you. I actually think we've got a big Brandon Ayuk update. Not one of those non-update updates. No, in fact, it sounds like we got a deadline on this sucker, Doran.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
And we'll tell you who said it, when the deadline would be, coming up next. And this Brandon Ayuk coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Which,
there's not bad blood. I mean, negotiations can get heated. I think it's his first time going through that. No bad blood. I mean, if you know people that are here, see Brandon out here. There's love, a lot of love and respect for the relationship we've had and continue to have, and hopefully we'll have into the future.
John Lynch, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, talking about Brandon Ayuk. No bad blood. Quoting Taylor Swift there, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
You like that song?
No.
Okay.
Don't like Taylor Swift. Well, I respect her. I just don't like her music.
That is well said.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Lot of respect for her.
See, people do that all the time. I don't like their music. I don't respect them. And then you just kick them to the curb.
No.
No, she's a bajillionaire because she knows what she's good at.
Yeah.
And she's a great business mind. Like, people don't like LeBron James. You got to respect LeBron James.
Yeah.
Because he's a basketball millionaire, and then he's a bajillionaire off of what he was able to do with that basketball money.
Right.
Guy's a genius.
Right.
Even if you don't like him, even if you're a Jordan guy or you're a Celtics fan, you got to respect LeBron.
Yes.
Got to respect T-Swift.
Yes.
Anyhow, back to the no bad blood. We finally have an update. Adam Schefter. So Schefty's been kind of sitting this one out. Ever since Rappaport immediately gave the antithesis of a report way back when in the beginning, and then Schefter had to 30 minutes later say, just kidding, here's what I'm hearing now. You haven't heard a lot of Schefter on this, but now we have. And Adam Schefter says he thinks from what he has gathered that this whole situation is going to work itself out before the 49ers' final preseason game, which is Friday the 23rd. So we should have an ending here in these next couple of days. We should know whether he's a Steeler or a Niner by Friday night.
Why? Did he say why? Did he elaborate why?
So Jordan Schultz, who I tried to get on the show actually today, who's a big-time NFL insider, he said that they're really trying hard now to get a deal done, that there were negotiations yesterday. So the smoke is that San Francisco is really putting on the full-court press, and they want to get it done. The regular season's right around the corner. So one way or the other, it should be done by Friday.
Do you think this gives the Steelers that last opportunity to sweeten the deal? Like, if you hear that and you hear that there's a potential deadline, if you're Omar Khan, are you like, all right, they're probably pretty close and they're probably going to get the deal done. Let's throw this in there and see what happens.
You know what I do? That's a great question, because that's what I said yesterday. And I think we agreed on that.
Yep.
Sweeten it. I'm not sweetening it. Here's what I'm doing. I'm calling Ayuk's agent, and I'm saying, you know what? We'll give you $2 million a year. I up the offer to Ayuk so that when San Francisco sits down and they're crossing T's and they're dotting I's, you go, all right, Brandon, we finally come to terms. Actually, there would be bad blood after this. Actually, John Lynch, Pittsburgh's offering more.
Yep.
So you're going to have to trade me there.
And you would want bad blood, because then that means it's really over.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
That's what I would do. Because if I'm San Francisco now and I've worked this hard to get this close to Ayuk, if the Steelers offered an extra pick, that's not going to move it for me.
Not for him either.
Right. Why would I now?
But it doesn't move it for them too.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm San Francisco and now I've tried so hard and we finally have created this deadline, which I called for John Lynch to do last week, we're so close to keeping Ayuk and keeping this Super Bowl caliber team together. If the Steelers say, all right, we'll give you an extra second round pick in 2026, that doesn't tantalize me anymore. Not when I've done all the work here. But if you poison the well and you've gotten all this work done and you're John Lynch with Brandon Ayuk, and Omar Khan comes swooping in and says, you know what? They don't want to give you that much guaranteed. We'll do that. Oh, they don't want to give you an extra couple of season. Oh, we'll do that. And now Ayuk goes, you know what, guys? Thank you, and I'm happy that we were able to take this thing this long, but you know what? Pittsburgh's offer is better. I ain't playing with you. That's what I would do if I'm Omar Khan.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the way you would get him here faster, or that's the way you would get him here. An extra pick, not going to do it, I don't think, at this point. But to make Ayuk stop their negotiation and say, you can't offer that?
Yeah.
Now you're done.
Yeah.
Because $2 million here, as we've talked about with the taxes, way different than $2 million there. And you might say, Brandon Ayuk ain't worth all that. Have you seen Van Jefferson? Have we seen what the Steelers' offense looks like in the preseason? Offer him a couple extra mil. Get her done.
Oh, man, Steelers need him. They're desperate.
Yeah, they are. And I'd be desperate. I would rather be desperate with money when you've got $85 million in cap space next year than be desperate in giving up an extra draft pick. When I think that my way works better anyhow of just upping the offer. I want to get into a football segment. There's a lot of stuff going on with Tua, and Mike Tomlin kind of got folded into that whole conversation. So I want to do that coming up in the next segment. But do you think Ayuk's watching the Steelers?
Yes.
Do you think he watches Pomp? Like, do you think Brandon Ayuk, because everyone said, Brandon doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh. He's got to be seeing what's going on. Do you think he's sitting there watching like the NFL Network and watching Bob Pompeiani and Charlie Batch on the call? Missy Matthews explaining kickoffs?
Maybe all 22.
Okay.
Probably has access to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because can you, I mean, I'm sure things have changed even since you've been in the league. Can you pull up film on anybody you want?
Well, if you get the all 22, yeah.
So you have to pay for it like everybody else.
Yeah, it's in a system. Like my son, you could watch every one of their games on Huddle. What? And the team's games.
What?
Like I could log on to Huddle, and they have a scrimmage tonight against Mount Lebanon. I could watch Mount Lebanon's last scrimmage as 9-year-olds.
Shut up.
Swear.
What position's he playing?
Running back and quarterback.
So do you tell him, hey, look at the safety?
Yes. Like his head was turned inside a couple days ago. And I was like, Jace, I know you're getting the ball because you're looking the way you're going. I'm like, point your head forward. Don't look. Don't move your eyes right. Don't move your eyes left. Just stare forward at the linebacker and then turn right and then take the ball.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So like Friday nights, we were talking about things that are unattractive to significant others and video games being one of the more unattractive things. Women don't love when men play video games. I could see you, Jace, come here, buddy.
Yep.
Sit on my lap.
Yep.
I'm going to have a bourbon.
Yep.
Click.
Yep.
Click.
Yep.
Click. Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. And I'm like, so use that as fuel. So whenever, because he plays middle linebacker too, because he's fast, he could go sound. I'm like, whenever you're at linebacker, there's going to be other kids that look that way. That's where the ball is going. So cheat that way and then take your first step there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Not only does he have daddy who played the NFL, now you got daddy who played the NFL breaking down the film.
Yep. And I can't help it either. Like,
how's Lebo looking?
I heard that they have like 12-year-olds playing against 9-year-olds. But
really?
Yeah. That's what I heard yesterday. Because of COVID, holding kids back. So you have like grown men.
Wait, just like Alan Bowman at Oklahoma State who's in year 7.
That's what Lebo's doing, of course.
Oh, my God.
Of course Lebo's doing that.
You imagine Ayuk, though, just sit there. Popcorn, crack open a cold one.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Acrisure Stadium. It's Bob Pompeiani and Charlie Batch on the call. Missy Matthews on the sideline. Boy, do we have a good one for you today.
Hey, Bob, the kickoff rule is, it's new. And you know, you could kick it in the zone, but you can't take it out of the zone. You have to wait for it to drop before you can run down the field. Brandon Ayuk's like, oh, man.
I don't need any worry about it. I ain't playing no special teams in Pittsburgh.
Go give me some ribs.
People have been saying, if Brandon's watching, he doesn't want to be a Steeler. If I'm Brandon, I'm going, they need me, and I'm calling my agent. I'm saying, hey, agent, why don't you talk to Omar Khan? Because I'm watching Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin out there and the guy who jumped off the trampoline who couldn't catch the ball that Justin Fields threw. They need me. See if you can squeeze an extra couple mil out of them.
I mean, if Brandon Ayuk honestly is allowed to talk to teams and is just allowed to do whatever he wants, if I'm the Steelers, I'm having Russ give him a call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm having Russ sell him, too. Like, look. Come on. Look how many receivers I've gotten paid. Come on. I mean, you're getting paid, and yeah. Like, and we can do something serious here.
And from Russ to Ayuk, I love throwing the football so much. Did I throw a Super Bowl away? Man, I will. We had a great run. Have you ever heard of Marshawn Lynch? I didn't want to handle it. I want to throw it, man. I will throw it to you, no matter the circumstance, no matter how stupid it is. All right, coming up next. Oh, my gosh. Tua Tagovailoa absolutely eviscerated Brian Flores. How does Mike Tomlin fit into all of this? We'll talk about that when we come back. We are live at wonderful Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville, where they treat us like kings. Mr. Dickerson, They got the good coffee pot here.
Oh, yeah.
You could eat off the floor.
Yes, you can.
But don't. That'd be weird. All right, so speaking of weird, Tua Tagovailoa goes on with Dan Le Batard the other day, quarterback Miami Dolphins, and just shreds Brian Flores. And we're paraphrasing here, but called him a terrible person and said every single day while Brian Flores was the head coach of the Dolphins, he belittled and berated him and said, you think you're hot, you know what? You're nothing. You're going to be nothing. Now, Brian Flores came out yesterday. He's the DC of the Minnesota Vikings now after a brief stop in Pittsburgh. And he said he has grown. He said he is rooting for Tua. And then Ryan Clark yesterday, Doran, said he hopes that Brian Flores learned something from Tomlin, because Clark says Tomlin is as good of a person as he is a coach and treated everybody with respect. Doesn't mean he wouldn't get hard on guys. Phrasing. Doesn't mean he wouldn't get on guys hard, but that there was always that line. And you and I were talking pre-show about there being that line. Everybody needs to be coached differently. I think if what Tua is saying is right and true and accurate, and Flores didn't deny it, I think that goes way beyond the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's just abusing of authority, and I've seen it so many times. Coaches, I told you the story about Arthur Smith whenever Arthur Smith was, you know, getting in my butt a little bit during a training camp practice.
Phrasing there, too.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, I kind of snapped back at him. I mean, I was a six-year vet at the time, and, you know, I thought I had at least a voice. And he looked at me, he was like, my job is to make you the best tight end in the NFL. My job is to make sure that you help this team win. He's like, so I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to put you in situations, and I'm going to push you to be the best. That is my job. And I looked at it, and I was like, okay, like that's coaching. Like, that's being hard on somebody, but also coaching, and there's a method to the madness. Now, I've seen so many coaches that just belittle and just use their authority as power. Like, oh, man, look at this guy. Like, you know, you stink. You stink. What are you even doing? What kind of throw is that? Like, there are players that want to be coached like that. I don't know many, but I do know some. But that, to me, is not the way that you can, you know, get a winning formula for your team. And I do believe Tua in this situation. Like you said, Brian Flores, he didn't deny it, but nope. I absolutely believe Tua, because it's not like Tua hasn't been coached hard in his life. He had Nick Saban, who you can just watch on the sidelines, lose his mind, and don't tell me Nick Saban wasn't in Tua's butt, but was doing it constructively. Like, it's not like Tua is just, you know, just kind of went through college football or went to the NFL and just had these easy coaches. No, he's been in a situation, and every single one of my teammates that played at Alabama said how hard Nick Saban was, but at the same time, how good he was.
There was a scene in Band of Brothers where they're talking about a guy who could potentially get promoted from lieutenant. And the line was, this guy feels like he needs to scream all the time. He's seen too many war movies. There are guys who scream. There are guys who yell. There are guys who are jerks just to be jerks, just because they hold positions of authority. And that's exactly what it sounds like Brian Flores was doing.
Yeah.
It also tells me exactly why Arthur Smith got hired. Your story.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to be hard on you.
For sure.
And you respect him for that. If Canada was hard on the guys, what are you going to respect that guy? No, probably not. He is your coach.
He's your coach, right.
So there's always a level of respect and decorum that needs to be held. But what have you done? It ain't 2016 at the University of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Like, you coordinate the NFL? What the hell do you know? So I think that Arthur Smith does command a certain level of respect. They bring in Azeez Ansari or whatever his name is, the wide receiver coach. He's kind of got that reputation where he's going to give it to you, but there needs to be a constructive element of that. And I do think that's what Tomlin's good at. I've been at practice a lot before. He gets on guys all the time, but he respects them as men. Mm-hmm. You got to have that respect. And it doesn't sound like Brian Flores did. I hope he did learn something from Tomlin.
It's kind of wild that this is coming out about Brian Flores, because I've said the story many times. I mean, he was a quality control guy when I was in New England, and that's not how Belichick operated. That's not how he operated on a day-to-day basis. People may think that, but he was total opposite of actually belittling people. Now, he would challenge you, and he would challenge everybody, but he didn't belittle guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very surprising that Brian Flores came from New England and, you know, had that persona about him about belittling guys, because that was not the environment in New England.
No, Brady just came out, I think it was on McAfee, and said Brady loved coached hard. He loved
coached
it for, coached hard.
But not
belittled.
Right.
Right. And there's absolutely that line. Brady said, I love that because it motivated me. But imagine you're all the 52 other guys on the Patriots, and Brady's up there getting ripped up by the coach.
Yep.
So you better be perfect too.
Yep.
Because that's the greatest quarterback of all time. And the coach is saying, hey, you missed a hot here? That's going to have an effect on the team. So Brady said he liked it. But there's a difference between that and you're terrible. You're never going to make it in this league.
How do you expect to win?
You think you're a
quarterback.
Yeah. It's just, that's no good.
No good.
That's no good. And I hope it works for Brian Flores. I hope he did learn from Tomlin. Because I think he, from a schematic standpoint, his defense is in Miami pretty good. I want to see that guy be successful. I thought he did good things here. And everything I heard from his time here was good. I'd like to see him get another shot, but you're not going to get another shot if you're going to be acting a fool like that. All right, we got the great soon-to-be sponsored football segment coming up next. Doran, here's the question I'm going to ask you. Give you some time to prepare here. Baker Mayfield says folks are sleeping on the NFC South. Which division is the worst in football? Which division's the best in football? It's the soon-to-be sponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined. And in 10 minutes, we have Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, our Steelers insider. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Baker Mayfield says, all y'all out there sleeping on the NFC South. Are we? Doran, worst division in football? And what's the best division in football?
Oh, man, that's tough. NFC South is the worst, and I would say the AFC North. I mean, I know that is, biased a little bit, but it seems like the AFC. I mean, think about the quarterback situation. I mean, if you go with Kansas City and Justin Herbert, but I don't know. The NFC South and the AFC North.
I think that for me, I'll go NFC West is the best division in football. Because the 49ers are an absolute juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, I thought, would have a bad year last season, didn't. I think they're going to have another good year this season. You've got Seattle with all those weapons for Geno Smith. I think they're incredibly talented, at least on an offensive side of the football. And while I understand the argument for the AFC North, maybe I've heard that so much that I just wanted to change up the flavor. And I also look at Cincinnati. They were a Super Bowl contender a couple of years ago. I think they could be, but they've been removed from that, and Burrow's been so hurt. Baltimore, you want to call them a Super Bowl contender. They were in the AFC Championship game last year, but they still can't get over that hump. I think the 49ers are clearly the best of any of those teams. And so elite talent at the top, and then I still think there's depth all the way down through Seattle. I'll go with the NFC West. My worst division in football, I'm going with the AFC South, man. A lot of people seem to think that the Colts are going to be better this year. I can't get there with Richardson just yet. He might be good. He might be great. I don't know. I can't say that. Now, I did see Gardner Minshew tear the Steelers a new one
right
last year.
I mean, it's the division of young quarterbacks.
Yes.
And that could be the future if you want to look at it that way. I don't know. Yeah, I could see where you're coming from.
I'm falling totally off with Trevor Lawrence. Really good in year two. Year three, I thought, took a significant step backwards last year. They were in, to use a is a pole position to win that division, and they totally fell apart down the stretch. You and Bostic have convinced me that Houston will be really good this year. I believe in Houston. I don't believe in any other teams in that division. The sneaky one that I think is tough to handicap is the AFC East. I think New England could be more competitive with Drake May. They were dumpster fire last year. The Jets, question mark though, with Rodgers. They're talented. Miami seemingly always falls apart down the stretch, but they should be good. And then I think Buffalo could take a step back, but they still got Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that division has potential to be the best, but because there's so many unknowns, I can't get there just
right
yet.
Yep.
And that is the great soon-to-be sponsored football segment.
You know, a division, and I always get my divisions messed up, so you'll be able to correct me, with the Lions, Bears, and Packers.
Is that the Wizard of Oz division?
Yes.
The NFC
Yeah, the North. And who else is in there?
You got the Bears, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Lions. Yeah.
That's sneaky. If Caleb Williams plays decent, the Packers are going to be really good. The Lions are going to be really good. And obviously Minnesota is ravaged with injuries and situations. But, if Sam Darnold can do something, they're going to be all right, too.
I think Sam Darnold's got more in the tank.
So do I.
I think he could be Geno Smith.
Absolutely. I'm right with you.
Let's go.
Right with
you. Yeah, I think if I'm tiering Super Bowl contenders in the NFC, I'm going San Francisco, Detroit, Philadelphia. But my big dark horse is Green Bay.
Yeah.
If Jordan Love can be the guy he was towards the end of the year, the Steelers got them at the right time last season.
They literally started winning after the Steelers.
They did. And Jordan Love turned into a guy that is now the third coming there with Favre and Rodgers. That could be a money division. You're right about that. And Chicago should be more competitive because they've added weapons around a quarterback who can do some of the things that easy Patrick Mahomes can do, just from a mobility and arm strength standpoint. All right, that was good.
Yes.
I like talking general football with you.
Me too.
Salute, general football. Up next, Fittipaldo. Some are calling him general football. He's our Steelers insider from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Is Troy Faltanu going to be ready week one? Is Broderick Jones using injuries as an excuse for his poor performance? Are they panicking at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex? We'll talk to Ray about all those things when we come back. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.